Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Welcome to Two Black Guys with Good Credit, the show for the financially knowledgeable and the financially curious. We are in the month of February, which, as you should know, is Black History Month.
The shortest month for the longest history, my brother.
Sean, today's topic is also the title of a Queen Latifah song. Do you know what it is?
Ladies first, ladies first.
Oh, Maddie Matt.
Don't get me started. You know I'm the old school king, man.
That's right. Well, today we're putting the ladies first. In recent years, black women have made significant gains in business. So in honor of Black History Month, today we are celebrating the success of black women in business. It's ladies first.
Yay. Long overdue, my brother. Let's celebrate this black woman greatness.
And we have our own black woman magic in the room, Dion.
Stop it.
That's who you're talking about? What you talking about, Matt?
So first
she's got
off,
a little magic in her. She's got a little magic in her.
Well, just to get us started,
Sean.
You know, in recent years, we've seen black girl magic making strides in many aspects of life, taking leadership positions in politics, and in business. A recent Nielsen report basically portrays black women as trendsetters, brand loyalists, and early adopters who care about projecting a positive self-image.
Absolutely. Yes. They're always together. You don't see them not together. They got everything in check.
They are leaders in fashion, beauty, television, music. And one area in particular that black women are leading is entrepreneurship. Dion, can you give us some stats or facts on black women entrepreneurship?
Don't even say my pleasure. You should say my honor for this one.
It would be, actually. It would really be an honor. And I want to keep this really short and sweet and to the point. But with all the successes that we're seeing in African-American female business today, we would be remiss without acknowledging the history of black female entrepreneurship in the U.S. You know, for many black women during post-emancipation, self-employment was the only economy they were allowed to participate in. And some women thrived. So if we can all, you know, tilt our hats to women like Madam C.J. Walker, one of the first or the first self-made millionaire, specializing in hair products for African-Americans. And now we've got female billionaires topping the list. So
Absolutely.
I'm excited to dive in.
Can I say one? Can I add one as historical fact? Is that okay? I'm usually not the man with the stats in the cold core facts, but I have one here. My great-grandmother, they used to call her Mama, and she grew up in Barbados, and she had horse and cart, and what she would do as an entrepreneur is she would prepare lunch and breakfast for all the workers at all the different hotels and houses that the servants would work at. And by doing so well with this, she was able to actually save her money and buy 11 pieces of land for all 11 of her children.
Wow.
And to date, in year 2020, our family still has that 11 pieces of land that she bought. So when I go to Barbados, I can go to one part and say, yeah, that was by my great-grand. And from this one entrepreneur lady that had the mindset, and this is just post-slavery, right? Yeah. Have the mindset to know that, hey, I'm going to have my own business, and I'm also going to invest. And this investment has carried on for generations. So I just would like to, you know, Shout out my great-great-grandma, Mama, who I've never met.
Mama. All right, Dee. Well, thank you for the facts. And Sean, the man with the facts, we appreciate that info. and basically, looking at some of these stats, you know, minority women are leading the way in creating business in this country.
It's pretty darn cool to see that nearly half of all businesses being opened, female, you know, businesses, are being opened by African-American or women of color.
Sean, why do you think that is? What's the secret sauce? Or why do you think black women are making these gains in business and in entrepreneurship specifically?
You want me to go deep with it, bro?
Take us deep.
I'm going to go deep with it. Well, you know, historically, you know, black people in general were shut out, like Deon even said, were shut out of wealth opportunities due to, like, discrimination, lack of policy over several generations, and just, like, in general, we didn't have access. And women even there more than us as men. And, black women had to kind of sustain the family, and they were looked nothing beyond that other than maybe house help and so forth. So now women are able to enter the workforce. They're liberated, you know, and they're able to do their own thing. And to me, they have these natural born abilities and skill sets to succeed. Like, I watched my mother as a single mother, how she was able to navigate, you know, and create wealth for us, help grow us, and still maintain the family. Still walking home with 4 grocery bags in her hand, preparing dinner while having a full day at work. She was in electrolysis, dealing with clients, and have the mindset to know that, hey, I still got to come home and tend to the house. And not to say anything against men, because this is not going to be a male bashing show that we're going to do. But, like, my dad, on the other hand, he was a musician, and his whole energy was about musician, about playing music. And I'm not saying all men in general, but
is that where you get your singing talent from?
A little bit, yeah.
Dad is rolling in his grave.
And I just remember, like, the multitasking of him was much more difficult than it was of my mom. He knew that, like, he put all his heart and energy into trying to become this musician. While my mom had those responsibilities, yes, I want to maybe own my own electrolysis, which she did, started doing and working from home, but she knew she had to take care of the family as well. And I think men in general are like, you know, we're all on this, want to get paid, want to make this money, want to get rich. But women have to juggle and do the both, which is great, a great entrepreneurial skill set to have.
Wow. It's funny. You bring me back. This is actually back in my corporate days, but I'll never forget when I worked in fashion. Believe it or not, it's still pretty male dominated. And it's still, you know, it's demanding. So when I had to tell my boss I was pregnant, I was afraid, right? And I'll never forget going into her office, she closed the door, and she launched into the most inspirational speech. I wasn't expecting it, but she said, "Deon, being a mother actually makes you an even better project manager." Like, that's the word that she used, and it's true. You get more focused, I think, when you have a why, right? It makes you even more driven to what you want to create.
No, I think that's powerful. And when I think about the why, I think about this burst of entrepreneurial activity with black women is due to both educational and economic necessity. Educational progress, like, there's black women graduating and getting postgraduate degrees, so they're prepared and they're in position to take advantage of that education. And also the economic necessity, you know, from the glass ceiling that exists. And I think a lot of black women are also dealing with frustrations in the workplace at some of their jobs. Maybe they're feeling like they're not getting paid right or getting passed over for promotions. So a lot of black women are taking their careers into their own hands out of necessity and creating their own opportunities. I know Our Lady with the Facts, for instance, in terms of just this passion to start your own, you're a life coach now.
And
talk about the process of starting your own. Well, all of the endeavors you do, you wear a few different hats. What's been your experience as a business starter?
Well, it's interesting. I always had an entrepreneurial mindset even when I was working in corporate, so I knew it was always in me. So I don't think it was because I was fed up with the 9-to-5, but I just knew that there was I could control my destiny more by going out and doing the things that I love to do and actually be able to generate income. So that's what inspired me to get into business. And I guess also with the just knowing that the sky's the limit. You know, a paycheck is not going to take you to the promised land, but the upside from working for yourself is limitless. So I think that was another, you know, big thing for me.
Can I add? I mean, I will say this, like, you know, I'm fortunate enough every month I'm able to go to the Caribbean and just kind of enter a different culture and see. And, you know, I have a great, like, sample set, which is the island of Barbados. And not to oversell Barbados anyway, but just to state factuals. The prime minister is a woman. And I do business. I have a wholesaling business. I have a shipping business, so I deal with a lot of businesses. And I can tell you, 8 or 9 out of 10 businesses I deal with are owned by women. And the island itself is just thriving. And these women in Barbados, you know, marriage is not a big push in Barbados. Like, it's kind of optional thing. And a lot of the women in Barbados are running their own household. And it's a place where it's amazing to see that they're not sitting there, like, depending on a man. What's a man going to do? I've seen women, like, ship boxes. They're lifting in those boxes themselves. They're going to clear. They're traveling to L.A. They're traveling to China. They're running their own business. They're coming home to their kids and doing things and getting it done. And I just feel the energy of the women in Barbados compared to the men that, you know, some men are doing well, but women just have this focus and motive, and they're not in this, caught up in this hoop dream in Barbados. They're just focused on their business and their family. And I've been going to Barbados doing business for 15 years, and I've never heard one, like, tell me about, you know, I need a man, or complaining of a man. They just know they have this spirit, this drive to succeed, and they do it. So, you know, I'm always a fan of, like, seeing how hard the black woman works. I'm surprised Dionne even mentioned her mother. Her mother is another great example. Growing up, seeing Dionne's mom raise 4 kids, have her system. You go to her house, you're getting great dinner, great food, and then she's going and knocking it out. To her later years before retirement, the woman was a nurse. She was housing people. She was a landlord. She had 2 jobs, and she's just entrepreneur spirit and just going to get it. So I commend the black woman that I've been around. Has been inspirational for me.
Well, interestingly enough, thank you, Sean, for that. So we'll shout out to Mama Nichols. Guess who else shares the same sentiment you do? Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank.
From Shark Tank.
You may have heard of him, mm-hmm. right? Mr. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? When I actually watched this little footage that he shared recently, I said, you know what? He really is Mr. Wonderful. He was saying that over the last 7 years, when he looked at his portfolio, all the businesses that he's been investing in have been women. And he said he thinks it has to do with goal setting, for one, risk mitigation, too. But he said not just some have actually come back with serious returns. And these are businesses from $5 to $350 million businesses, right? He didn't just say some came back with great returns. He said all of them. So he said right now, if he had to decide between them, and he says this is not about gender wars. So like you said, Sean, this is not about gender wars. This is not what this show is about. He's saying, if I want to look at dollars and cents, if I have to decide between a male business and a female business, he says, I'm putting my money with the women every time.
Makes me want to ask you a question, Dionne. Sure. Who run the world?
Girls.
Okay, well.
I mean.
I would also like to recommend, if you want to get some inspiration from Black Girl Magic, there's a great film you should check out, a great documentary on Netflix called She Did That. I actually saw it last summer at a film festival. It's a film produced by a woman named Renee Blewett, and it basically highlights 4 black women entrepreneurs on their journey to, you know, build successful businesses. And the film explains how the $1.9 million black women-owned firms in America, how they generate $51.4 billion in revenues and find success. But you should definitely check it out. It's on Netflix. It debuted on Netflix in February, so it's up right now. You should check that out.
You've listened to all of our episodes, of course, then you can go to Netflix and watch that. But catch up on all of them, like, 2 Black Guys, Good Credit and episodes, and forward them out to your friends, then watch Netflix. Until we get on Netflix. And Netflix, we're looking for you to bring us on Netflix. That's just my plug.
All right, plug
Not seat. Shameless at all.
No, you got to put the energy out there. We want to be on Netflix.
Back to the topic, though.
Back to the task at hand. But there's just so many. Like, the stats are staggering. So can I just go through a few of them?
Yeah, go for it.
I mean, okay. So, 1, African American women started up companies at 6 times the national average during the last 18 years. Okay.
So this is for you to understand, for every 1 business that starts up, 6 other businesses start up by African-American women.
Yes. Okay.
Just to drive that home.
Between 1997 and 2015, the number of U.S. firms owned by Latinas increased by 224%.
There you go, my brown sisters.
Yes, but at the same time, the number of businesses owned by black women rose by 322%. There are 2.4 million African-American women-owned businesses in 2018, most owned by women between the age of 35 and 54. Black women are the only racial or ethnic group with more business ownership than their male peers. And that's according to the Federal Reserve.
The success of black women and what they're doing to get this success and to make these gains, people of all races, colors, creeds, genders, we can all find inspiration. But we're really celebrating as Black History Month, so we want to tip our cap to the success. We're about to take a quick break, so stay tuned. It's Ladies First on Two Black Guys with Good Credit.
Come on, Dion, give me some.
Ladies First.
Ladies First.
All right.
I'm moaning.
Keep in mind.
Two Black Guys with Good Credit.
Welcome back to Two Black Guys with Good Credit, the show for the financially curious and the financially knowledgeable. It is Black History Month, and today we are celebrating the ladies. It's all about ladies first.
Ooh, ladies first, ladies first.
We are celebrating the gains and the success of black women in business. And we started the conversation talking about how and why black women are leading the way in starting businesses. And in addition to entrepreneurialism, we are seeing black women making their presence felt in corporate America as well and in the world of tech. Dion, any thoughts on the gains made in tech?
Sure. Well, there's Black Girls Who Code. Did anybody see the Super Bowl, that little show that was on
last
Sunday?
There was a cool commercial.
How cool was that to see the strides that organization is making? They partnered with Oil of Olay to actually get additional donations for promoting to get more girls, young girls, interested in tech. There was a time where, you know, young girls were diverted from the sciences and engineering. So Black Girls Code was actually founded by a woman named Kimberly Bryant, and basically inspired for the very reasons we talked about to create this organization because of her own disheartened, you know, feelings towards or challenges she faced in terms of really trying to make strides in that arena.
I read where her mission is to train 1 million girls to code by 2040.
Wow.
That's an impressive number.
Very impressive.
I can't imagine what the game would be changed once we get all these black women coding. Like what cool apps would come out, what things more to our market would understand. I mean, just that alone, I just can't imagine how different the world would be once all these women are coding.
And especially with just the workplace changing in terms of all of these tech jobs, to make sure that our girls and our boys and people of all, you know, basically everybody really needs to get up on it. America needs to get up on their code game because other nations are very much ahead of the curve in terms of, you know, like India's got it cracking when it comes to coding and a lot of these other countries. So it's nice to see ambitious goals like this.
And you know, whatever we put our minds to, we black women, right?
You get it. Absolutely. Well, another issue facing black women in business, because everything isn't rosy. We want to also bring the real, is that finding investment for black businesses is oftentimes a struggle. So let's talk about that part of it. I mean,
may I put things in perspective
for
you, Matt? So men still get the majority of venture capital. Only 2% of all VC funding actually goes to female-only founder.
Well, that's sad. So once again, that's $2 out of every $100 that goes towards black women investments.
Yeah, so nearly 63%. There was another article that was sharing that nearly 63% of women finance their businesses from their own savings.
There are some investment groups, though, that are pushing back on this, are focused on funding black women ventures. There's a few prominent angel investment programs. There's Pipeline Angels. That connects women and investors with black women startups in need of a financial boost. There's Fearless Fund, which is a venture capitalist fund for women of color entrepreneurs, that's spearheaded by Rudy from The Cosby Show, Keisha Knight Pulliam. She's one of the leaders
How
of
cool
that.
Is
she's
actually,
not six anymore?
She's not 6 years old anymore. They have a $5 million fund to invest in exclusively in early stage businesses run by women of color.
So awesome.
And then there's Richelieu Dennis, the owner of Essence Magazine and Sundial Brands. He's made his fortune with black hair care products. He's been a very strong advocate for black women in business. He launched a fund called the New Voices Fund. It's a $100 million fund that invests in businesses owned or managed by women of color, including startups, established businesses, and community-based businesses. So there are some people who are really trying to push back.
And it just sounds so lopsided, right? So when we're employing what is it, over 7 million people as women or black women, when we are generating over, what, over $1.9 trillion into the economy, yet we're only getting 2% of the actual funding. It's companies like this that, you know, really excite me for what, you know, the future can hold.
Well, let me be frank and be real, all right?
And I thought you were Sean.
I know for a fact, based on my personal experience, it's not easy raising capital. And believe me, I'm of the mindset it's only for a selected few. There's a number of key things, elements you need to have. You went to the right school. You're around the right circle. You're with the right network. You could be the person that thought of the great idea for Facebook. And unfortunately, if you're not connected to the right people, it's not going to happen. Even if you presented with a business plan, you sit them all down in a meeting, tell them how great this thing could be and it's going to change the world, it has to come from somebody that they feel is viable. And we generally, as black people, has kind of been pushed out of that group. So here's Sean Linda's workaround. You have to look at your business that you're starting off as your resume, okay? In a sense that it may start off small, but prove you have something that is viable and that the business, that the world needs, and that there's, and it, you can show a strong rate of return. Because all they want to see, especially investors and angel investors, they're not about how great the idea is. They're about how much money can this make and can we satisfy our investors. So if you can use the initial starting off, not saying you're not going to get big and large, but starting off on a small scale as your resume to show, look, I'm getting X amount of customers. If I had X amount of money injected into this business, I can now get 10 times that, 40 times that amount. And you can prove it through what the business has done to date. That's when those people are going to come looking your way to want to invest in what you're doing. But here's the thing. Maybe by the time you're ready to scale up, your business is already making the kind of money that it needs to make, and you may not need them. Or if you do need them, you have much more negotiating power. You may not have to give them so much of your business. You may be able to hold on to more than what you could have had you got the money at the beginning. So what I'm saying, if you're not having access to the money, don't let that frustrate you. Let it, you say, okay, I'm going to prove to the world that this can work on a small scale. Then shop your business around. And this is what they do. This is what a lot of people do to get what they call second round funding. The first round funding is to prove it's viable, and the second round funding proves that, hey, give us more money now.
Although I have to say this, Sean, so that is not the issue, though, because it's not that they're not already doing that. So from the stats, we're already, you know, basically bootstrapping our businesses 63% of the time, right, through our savings and what have you. I think there's more to, and we're already growing at the most, you know, staggering rate. So it's not like we're not doing it ourselves. We're doing it anyways, right? I think it's a bigger thing in terms of why we're not being considered for
Absolutely.
The funding, right? So I don't think it's because we're not presenting the better business plan, right? Because one thing women do bring is, you know, a lot of structure and strategy to what they do, right?
But that's not the point. It's not that they're not.
There was a professor who actually was looking at it, and you had brought them up earlier, right? The Facebooks of the world and what have you. Who do we see? The Zuckerberg, and the Bezos, right? So when we think tech, when we think big business, who do we think of? We still think of males, right? So how can we possibly hand over this funding to a female who doesn't really, from our biases of how many years in this industry?
Right.
So it's when that profile of what a strong tech CEO can look like, I think things will start to shift. So when we see more of the Ms. Bryants of the world and the Ms. Richelieus of the world who are doing their thing in tech, I'm going to expect that you're going to start to see a shift and a more of a comfort level for those who still, for the most part, you know, hold the purse strings when it comes to funding, being more accepting of women in those spaces and be more willing to, you know, invest.
I would also add that there's another part of this, just a separate point that kind of works to kind of both of your points. When you analyze the spending power of black people in America and black women, like there's $1.2 trillion of spending power of black people, according to the research that I've looked at, and women are a big part of that percentage. It's sometimes we need to invest in our own or find, you know, and that's not easy,
mm-hmm.
but when we pool our own wealth or find, you know, like kind of those examples of those angel investors, or maybe there's, if your idea is viable, maybe it's the second round of funding as you were talking about, Sean, but if instead of going to traditional, the larger venture capitalist groups, like tapping into this $1.2 trillion of spending power that we have, and maybe, you know, this is a dream as, mm-hmm, as opposed to mm-hmm. a reality, but finding ways to tap into our spend, we have a lot of spending power culturally, a lot of times more consumer than owner.
Right.
But finding ways for us to help to build these and support these businesses, maybe becoming investors or pooling, you know, community, like, you know, crowdfunding, crowdsourcing, you know, to help as another way to approach getting funding.
Here's a funny thing, right? If you put up like different ethnic and groups, you put like white male, black male, Asian male, black woman, Asian woman, black women of every ingredient needed to be a successful entrepreneur, they check off on all the categories. Self-motivated, determined, multitasking. Everything you need to be successful as an entrepreneur, when you look at the black woman's history and path, they have all those active ingredients, right? Will to succeed, you know, leveraging scarce resources, but yet the confidence isn't there. From the investors, which is a sad thing. So what has to change is a mindset, like Matt said, and the perception, like Dion said. And how do we do that? I always was a person that never believed. I didn't want to do this financial show till I felt that I've walked the walk. And I honestly think sometimes we, and women, black women itself, we just have to roll up our sleeves and walk the walk. Like Max said, pool together. And thinking of a business to me is always like, see the needs around you in the community and try to address those needs. And they're just pooling together. Like, we started an incubator class in our Financially Clean program. And guess who rose to the top? The black women. The women, like, we started this incubator program after a 10-week class and was like, okay, we're going to think of a business ideas and we're going to try to focus on these ideas to bring them to fruition. And it was the black women in the class that rose to the top, took the initiative, writing all the great notes, directing the meetings, to the point that I know Dion has like severed off with a group of them and they're doing this fearless women thing. They're doing all these great initiatives. So it's those kind of things that you need to group and find people of the same mindset to start businesses. And like I said, if the funding isn't coming, start small, prove your theory, and keep hitting them back. Hey, look what we're doing now. We're doing $20,000 in revenue. We're doing $50,000 in revenue. We're doing $100,000 in revenue. Come check what we're doing and force the hand, and doors will open up.
Well, the good thing is I think that is what's happening, and we just need to do more of that. But the show today is what you know the theme. It's ladies first. We're going to take a quick break. We've identified the major issue, which is that funding.
Ooh, you don't need to do my part. Ooh.
Oh, okay. We got the music.
Dion. Ladies first. Ladies first.
So stay tuned for more Two Black Guys with Good Credit. It's Ladies First.
Two Black Guys with Good Credit.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome back to Two Black Guys with Good Credit, the show for the financially curious and the financially knowledgeable. Today, it's all about the ladies. It's Black History Month, and today's show, the theme is Ladies First.
Ooh, ladies first, ladies first.
We are definitely not a singing group, but
who says?
So we've covered a few topics. We've talked about the success and the gains Black women have made as entrepreneurs. They've also made gains in the boardroom and other realms of business, in film and you know, the C-suites. There's some, you know, some CEOs and high-ranking Black women in corporate America. There's women in, you know, beauty and entertainment and fashion. And then we also discuss some of the issues that women are facing, Black women in particular, in terms of finding funding. And, you know, so Sean, we asked ourselves in our research, we are identifying some women to highlight. Who do you, in terms of women that you think are really stand out, or that you'd like to highlight some success stories, who are you looking at?
You trying to set me up? I think all Black women need to be celebrating, man. And all women, don't try to set me up like that, bro. I got some women.
Okay, that being said, we don't have time to highlight every Black woman. So,
if I had to pick a few,
yeah.
Well, you know, there's a few that I like. One of the first one is Janice Bryant Howard. She's a founder of a company called Act One Group, and she took, like I said, a $900 loan from her mom and took a giant leap of faith and started her own company in 1978. She founded Act One, a global enterprise that provides employment, workforce management, and procurement solutions. The company has grown into a billion-dollar business with more than 17,000 clients and 2,600 employees in 22 countries.
Wow.
Today, she's one of the richest self-made women in America. She's worth about $390 million.
Damn.
Woo.
That's huge.
Yes, and she credits her success and gives other women these tips if they want to, you know, because they always say success leaves clues, right? So she says focus on empowerment, right? And I think that's a big thing about where a lot of women choose to do business from, and maybe helps to support why we are so successful, because we're very purpose driven, you know? So she said, focus on empowerment. She also said, nobody wins alone, right? So we're better together. Ask the right questions and listen. So humble yourself, be an eternal student, right? Never compromise who you are. So authenticity is key. And view education as a lifelong process.
Continue to always learn. Barack says that he's always reading, he's always continuing to learn. Yeah.
Awesome. Who else is on your list? We got some all-star team ladies.
Well, I had to get a little entertainment involved. One of my favorites is Riri, Rihanna. I mean, I just love her humbling beginnings and how she's been able to, like, where people are asking, like, when are you coming out with an album, homegirl? Because she's doing so many other great things. She's that albums, making music is now, like, almost like her secondary business. She has an extremely fat beauty line.
I got Fenty. My Fenty red.
Exactly. She's doing a lot of public speaking. She's involved in the community a lot. And where her album is like, okay, I'm going to do an album when I'm ready. And I think that's phenomenal. She's been able to brand herself a household name worldwide and really leverage the name Rihanna. It says something when you hear it.
I mean, can I just drop a stat here, if I may? In 2019, Rihanna, the mogul, officially became the world's richest female musician at a whopping $600 million.
Let's just say half a billion and some.
Not a bad deal.
That's not bad
from
at
a gal
all.
From Barbados, right?
Exactly. Not even core business, not even music anymore. That's why I think the amazing thing is the way she's able to brand herself and continue to grow.
Go Riri.
On the entertainment tip, I'd also like to throw in Ava DuVernay as someone who has been super impressive in the film world, taking a leadership role and just running Hollywood with the film she's creating and just the boss mentality and that entrepreneurial spirit. She's someone who is also one of my favorite women to watch in terms of her business, and she's inspirational to people in the film and television industry.
Yeah, and I got to drop another one. Since we're talking Caribbean and Barbados, she's not necessarily a businesswoman, but somebody I admire that she's really pushing forth financial literacy. She sees a need for it. She wants to make sure that everybody in her country is financially literate, and she understands the importance of it. And herself being a mogul as far as being the first female prime minister in Barbados, the first female to lead a party. I would have to give credit to Mia Mottley, and knowing her and knowing where her mindset is and how she believes in educating people and educating women and standing up. She's an amazing human being, and I think she needs to be recognized as well. So she's one of my favorites.
Dion, is there any, do you have any sheroes out there you want to shout out?
I mean, I have to go back to my girl, Michelle Obama. I have
can't
to
go
say,
wrong there.
Yeah, I'm still finishing her book, and I look at, you know, she's the epitome of so many women, you know, juggling husband, motherhood, finding her space in all of that as a career woman, you know, leaving her legal career to, again, find her purpose and be able to, you know, juggle family and, you know, create the lifestyle and the future that she wanted. So I would definitely have to give my hats off to her.
Sean, you got any others you want to?
You know, I can go all day with this, bro. I mean, I love black women and successful black women even more. So I think the last one I'll give is, you know, we talk about her ex-husband a lot, but we never really recognize her. And I think she's been doing a phenomenal job. She's a black woman that's only black woman to own 3 professional sports teams. You know, this is a trivia quiz, Matt. I mean, she founded a company that you worked for a number of years. And the one, you know who I'm talking about, Matt?
I think I do. Why don't you share that?
Miss Sheila Johnson. I mean, like I said, she's the co-founder of Black Entertainment Television. She's also the first and only African-American woman to have stake in 3 sports teams, the Washington Wizards, the Washington Capitals, which is a hockey team, and the Mystics, okay? So I think she's somebody that we all need to recognize.
Well, I'd like to throw in one more. Since you took us to Barbados, I'm going to take us to the West Coast, throw up my dubs from my hometown, my home team, and I'm going to take it way back old school. Earlier, Dion, you mentioned Madam C.J. Walker.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even before Madam C.J. Walker, there was a woman named Biddy Mason, and Biddy was a Los Angeles real estate mogul before the term was even invented. Biddy was born into slavery in the year 1818 in Georgia, and by the time she died in 1891, she had amassed a fortune of $300,000.
That is a fortune. That, in real terms today, that's like
crazy.
$300 million.
Mm-hmm.
And she was slave?
And she owned a great deal of property in what is now the heart of Los Angeles. I mean, her journey, like if you read up, Google her, Biddy Mason, it's like a movie or like a doc should be made about this woman, because it's just to be be born into slavery and to rise up to own that much property and real estate. And I know you're the king of real estate
she's
advocacy.
Like my mom. She had a little more. We only Barbados is only 166 square miles. We got a lot of land to work with.
So big ups to Biddy. But, you know, today is all about the ladies. It's Ladies First. It's Black History Month. We want you to let me hear the harmony.
Ladies first. Ladies
so
first.
Stay tuned. Keep it locked. We'll be right back with more Two Black Guys with Good Credit.
Two Black Guys with Good Credit.
Welcome back to Two Black Guys with Good Credit, the show for the financially curious and the financially knowledgeable. It is Black History Month. It is all about the ladies today. We are celebrating black women in business. It's Ladies First.
Ooh, ladies first. Ladies first.
And We discussed a lot of the success of black women in business, so we hope you're motivated. Do your research on some of the ladies we shouted out and get your entrepreneurial game on. If you're out there thinking, if you got an idea, you got things you want to do, get it popping. So Dion, why don't you take us home?
Sure, Matt. Thank you. I have one word. When I think about my women of color, my African-American women, I think about the Biddies, right? I think about the Madam C.J. Walkers, and I think about resilience. And that's what I think is a driving force as to why we're seeing the tremendous successes that we are today. And, you know, we love to hear your feedback. If there's someone that you'd like to highlight, if there are questions, please bring them to us. Next week, we'll be answering those questions in our mailbag show, so bring them on. So please email us your questions to tbgwgc@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Two Black Guys Good Credit. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star review to make it easier for others to find us. Like SRS. I guess that might be a she. She said, "This podcast is great. It's informative and funny, and I love hearing the team's different perspectives. I saw these guys on The Breakfast Club, and I've been a fan ever since. Keep up the great work." Well, thank you, SRS. And that's my time. My name is Dion Nichols, the lady with the history, the stats, and the cold hard facts. And I'm out.
Well, thank you, Dee. My bottom line is that, you know, in light of it being Black History Month, that we need to celebrate our history. If we don't know where we've been, it's hard to know where you're going. And I think Black men, Black women, and people in general, we need to celebrate each other's success and find our own inspiration and motivation from those successes so we can have our own wins and our own victories in life. So I'd like to say happy Black History Month to everybody. I am Matt Smith, one half of Two Black Guys with Good Credit. And remember, nothing changes if nothing changes.
Well, I'm Sean, and my takeaway is the reason why we did this show. This show was not only to highlight Black women excellence, but was to let, we always try to give everybody a strong feeling after the show, and it was really to encourage those people, and Black women specifically, that are on the sideline, nervous about starting their own business and doing their own thing, to know that it's genetically ingrained in you. You have the ability to do well and to succeed. You have all the ingredients to become successful. So for those people that are contemplating whether I shouldn't, to me, just do it. And this is what the purpose of the show is, to encourage you to fulfill and live a full life and be successful. So that's it. I'm always the better half of Two Black Guys with Good Credit. I'm Sean. Follow me at Financially Clean Sean on Instagram. And like I say every show, your money is your money. Keep it in your damn pocket. And I'm out.
Two Black Guys with Good Credit.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.